Sonny Osborne will be calling in about 10 minutes. We'll just catch up with him for a bit. I think we might have, we had like a momentary lapse of signal, but we're back, and we were talking about Banjo-thon. I think a lot of people caught what we were talking about. Every once in a while I can look up and see these things aren't working. I got to retype them in, but we're back loud and across the world right now, so.
Okay. It's just those
errors. You know, something about that daggone internet that just every once in a while jumps out on me, but it's there. Hey, I was going to talk to you before Mike Aldridge passed away last year. We used to talk every once in a while about different, instruments and we were going to talk a little bit about dobros and how they fit into a bluegrass band and what, you know, I know you had a good player, Gene Wooten, all those years.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. When, Lester Merle first got, Fat Scruggs, when they first got, Josh Graves, I didn't like it too much, but my reason was kind of selfish because it took a lot away from the banjo, and that's what I wanted the most to hear was Earl play. The reason they got him is so Earl had the time to rest and didn't have to take every break.
And so, oh, I didn't know that.
When they got Josh, I mean, Earl would take a break or started, and then Josh would take Earl's second break instead of Earl taking it.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of resented that. I didn't like it too much. But then after, Josh was so good, and he fit them so well. And he learned a lot from Earl. And after I got to this, I heard Mike Aldridge, that you mentioned him a minute ago, I heard Mike Aldridge play. I really like Mike's playing a lot. Of course, you got Jerry Douglas and several of the guys, but Jerry is in town here now, and he does, if there's a set where there's a dobro on it, Jerry gets that work. But my favorite player of all time was Gene Wooten. He worked with us for 11 years, and he had just a different take on things. The way he heard things was a little bit different than anybody else. And I really like Gene playing. And to me, Gene and Aldridge played pretty close to the same thing. Not the same thing, but they played with the same thought in mind.
Maybe the same taste involved?
Yeah, they sure did. And they mixed a little of today's sound with old-timey sound. And most of the guys, they just play what's happening today with all the technique and all that stuff. And to me, they don't get the tone out of the instrument that, like, Gene or Mike did. And I don't know. I just enjoyed Gene's playing a whole lot. He was just such a good player. And he understood and heard things the way I did, really. And I just enjoyed his playing a lot. And he was a good guy on top of it.
Well, I knew that you... I've talked to you before about him. I knew how you felt. I got my phone way down here. I'm still typing in buttons here and something's screwed up. Hold on just a second. Can you hear me? All right, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. I need another set of hands. Let's see what happens now. All right. I think it's working again. I'll tell you what, it's a daggone hassle sometimes trying to get these buttons, and the internet has a mind of its own, but I think we're loud and clear again. So we were talking about Gene Wooten and his place in your band and the taste that he had on dobros. And,
He was a good musician. Gene was pretty good fiddle player too. And, he could play guitar. He was a good guitar player. He worked with, Alan Mundy's group, what do they call them, Gazette?
Country Gazette.
Country Gazette.
Yeah.
For a long time, and then he went to work with us, and he stayed 11 years. And a thing happened when Gene was in the hospital dying, really. And I was there. As a matter of fact, I saw him take his last breath. Hmm. The only guy I ever saw actually die in the hospital. But Gene was unconscious. And Jerry Douglas came down there. And we were all sitting around for a long time. And Gene hadn't said anything or moved for a long time. I mean, hours. And his guitar was there. Gene's guitar was there. And it was that gold hollow guitar that he had. It was such a good guitar, man. That was a good dobro. And all the parts, metal parts, were gold-plated. And boy, it was a good guitar. Well, it was laying over there. And man, Jerry Douglas went and picked that guitar up. And he started playing hymns, Old Rugged Cross, and all that, the Amazing Grace. And I mean, it was sad.
Wow.
It really was sad. And I didn't understand, to begin with, and Gene didn't make any move at all. And Jerry did that for about 20 minutes, I guess it was. And then he just laid the guitar down, and then a few minutes he left. And, oh, it was like, I imagine, 3-4 years after Gene had died, I saw Jerry somewhere in some place, I asked him, I reminded him about that, and I asked him why he did that. And he said, well, I kind of stood around there, and he said, Gene hadn't moved or done anything for a long, long time, and he said, I got to thinking, if I was to play his dobro and he heard it, if he was in there and anywhere could show anything, he would. Mm-hmm. And but he didn't. And I knew that he wouldn't wake up and left then. But that was kind of it was really sad to hear him do that.
Wow.
And all the people in there, I mean, they wouldn't have dried or blushed, really. Oh.
How long ago was that?
Oh, I don't know. Probably, I can't remember when Gene died. I imagine 2002, maybe 3.
I was thinking about 10 years, but I was just, in my head, just kind of seemed like about a decade, but I wouldn't know.
Yeah, he's been gone probably 10 years.
Hmm.
But, he was, I know, I'll tell you, he came to work with us in 80, oh my goodness, what was that? Let's see, probably, I think Grandpa Huffmaster came to work with us in 83 and came to work sometime after Raymond. I would say probably 87 or 88, 89. 89 or 90, and then he died probably 2001.
How did he come to you? I mean, were you looking for a dobro player?
We had Blaine Brown playing the fiddle with us at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Blaine couldn't go for some reason. He was sick or something. He couldn't go on a trip with us. And matter of fact, we were going to Cincinnati and Covington. And Dayton, I think, was the 3 days that we were going at Louisville and Cincinnati and Dayton, I think is what it was. And I was just scrounging around trying to find somebody to go with to take up, you know, the extra spot. And I can't remember which one of them said that Gene Wooten was available. And I said, well, I wasn't too familiar with Gene. I knew who he was, but I wasn't too familiar. And I asked Terry Eldridge, I guess it was. I said, what does he play? What can he play? And Terry said, just about anything you want him to play.
Huh.
On his dobro. And I said, well, if you see him, and he was playing at the station at the time and doing sound down there. And I said, well, if you see him, ask him if he wants to go with us this weekend and tell him the whole deal and see if he wants to go. Well, back Raymond was driving the bus. Raymond knew him real well. And so Gene went with us, and we just really liked what he did. And he didn't cause any trouble, and just really like what we did. We liked what he did. And when we was coming back off that last day, I went up there to the front of the bus, and Raymond was driving, and I said, Raymond, I'm thinking about offering Gene the job to work for this record a good all time. And he said, well, I tell you what. He said, you won't ever find anybody to play any better, but he will worry you to death. And I said, in what way? And he just took it in. He said, in every way that he can. And I thought, well, I'd put up with that. He's a really good musician. And so I asked Gene if he wanted to come and work with us. He said, well, yeah, he'd like to. And,
well, did he worry you to death?
No, he didn't.
What was that about?
In the final maybe two years of his life, I guess. You know what? I couldn't play by 2003, and so Gene had been gone 2 or 3 years at that time, so he must have died in 2000.
Okay.
And he got sick in about 1998, though. He got to the point of where, and he could do it, but every lick that I played on the banjo, he could play.
Mm.
I'm talking about background, instrumental breaks, instrumentals, and he would stand over there, and as I would play this stuff, he would play the same thing I was playing. It just it wore me out completely. And Gene knew it, and he kept on doing it. And I threatened to fire him, to do everything in the world, and he just laughed.
What?
And about the last, about 6 months before he died, we were on stage somewhere, I think it was Jekyll Island, Georgia. And I was playing something that he played right along with me. Same notes. I mean, the same notes I was playing.
While you were playing?
While I was playing. And I walked over to him, and I said, Gene. And I called him an expletive. And I said, you old so-and-so. I said, if you ever get well, I'll swear to goodness, I'm going to fight. And this was right on stage. His answer to me was, oh, 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 oh. And that's all he said. He just laughed. And then 4, 5, 6 months after that, he died. He got sick there, got in the hospital, and he didn't get out there. But he was a pleasure to work with because he was a player. I mean, he was a major, professional player. He really was.
And who was he playing with other than just like, you saw him down at Station Inn? Terry must have known him from some other, band or something.
He was playing with the, they call them the Sidemen.
Oh.
And, I think Mike Bob and Gene Wooten and Terry Elders and Terry Smith. And somebody else was in that group. I can't remember who the other guy was. Maybe Jim Mattingly was in that group. And Terry did that really, really well.
Huh.
And he knew everybody and everybody knew him, and he did the sound. What time he wasn't playing at the station, and he ran the sound for him.
Huh.
And that was it was a good thing for us too. And Gene was a good singer too. He knew parts. He could sing parts. I mean, any part too. Whatever you needed for him to sing, he could sing that part. I'll tell you, there was one period where Bobby got laryngitis and I couldn't, my throat was messed up too. And neither of us could, we couldn't sing or make a sound of any kind. And, we couldn't even talk, MC. And Terry Eldridge and Terry Smith and Gene Wooten did 4 shows at I think it was Myrtle Beach or either Jekyll Island, one of the two. Myrtle Beach, I think it was, festival. And they did
You know what? That internet tried to kick me off and kept kicking me, and I retched up there and wrestled it to the ground, and I'm back, and I'm not going to go out that way. I fought my way back on. Sonny Osborne called in. We kept cutting in and out for reasons I don't know, but we had a nice chat with Sonny, and Sonny's feeling well. We'll get him back on a regular basis. I hope you enjoyed the show, hiccups and all on the internet. This is Steve Martin and Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass on worldwidebluegrass.com, the number one internet radio station. You know it is.